Good morning. I have to admit this these verses have sort of shook me. For years I have not understood what the Sabbath meant. Right now I've come to an understanding of how great is our God. Frank Cotton wrote his hymn. It's not going to be the first time we use a hymn for prayer, but I think it's good to repeat good words like we do scripture. We read scripture every day to aid our spirits in facing a task unfinished. Let's bow our heads and pray. We bear the torch that flaming fell from the hands of those who gave their lives proclaiming that Jesus died and rose. Ours is the same commission, the same glad message ours, fired by the same ambition. To you, O Lord, we yield our powers. O Father who sustained them, O Spirit who inspired, Savior whose love constrained them, to toil with zeal untired. From cowardice defend us, from lethargy awake, forth on your errand send us, to labor for your sake. In Jesus' name, amen. The verses, let's read the verses. Verse 19, this is what the Lord said to me. Go and stand at the gate of the people through which the kings of Judah go in and out. Stand also at all the other gates of Jerusalem. It's like a parallel. J.J. asked you, what's a parallel with this in the Matthew 5:14 to 15? Well, like it's Matthew 5:14 to 15. So God has instructed Jeremiah to stand at the city gates, the gate of the people. Matthew 5:14 says, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden, no one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. The parallel with Matthew, with the verses 19 to 20, is the instruction to make the messenger take a position which will be advantageous to the spreading of the message, or in our case, to make the separation or difference of a Christian obvious. In Jeremiah's case, he is to take a position at the city gates where all manner of people will pass by. Let us reflect on, actually, where did Jesus establish his base of ministry? He established it in Capernaum. Capernaum was a customs clearing town for the Roman Empire. Everybody, commerce of people of government, passed through Capernaum every single day in Jesus' day. So it's strategic. When God instructed Jeremiah to go at the city gates, he didn't stay there. He didn't say that you go there because I just felt like it. No. There's a meaning to that. It is comparable to being given the Great Commission, and that the Christian should be open about his or her condition in God being saved. We're not called to be secret agents of God. I've worked at Disney, and I was surprised that some people were actually Christians because they weren't speaking the gospel or spreading the good news to people who we worked with. They were, I don't know. Showing that he or she is not ashamed of the gospel message, whether if he tells it whether he will be scoffed at or not. Lee also touched on this topic previously, speaking at the city gates. Well, in our context, the city gates would mean our lives. Tony asked in prayer that we have the circles of our influence to touch other people's lives and bless other people. That's the meaning of being placed at the city gates, being there present, spreading the news, not keeping it to ourselves and putting that lamp under a basket. So what is the message? Because what is the message? The message is the law begins with the law and its requirement. Verses 20 to 23. Let's study 20 to 21 first. Say to them, hear the word of the Lord, you kings of Judah and all people of Judah and everyone living in Jerusalem who come through these gates. This is what the Lord says. Be careful not to carry a load on the Sabbath day or bring it through the gates of Jerusalem. We have heard from J.J. Allen Lee how far Judah has drifted from their faith in God, notably comparing Judah to an unfaithful spouse, even using the word prostituting themselves spiritually. The chapters 16 to 20 are still concerned with judgment. And in 17, 19 to 27, is a message regarding the Sabbath. If we examine this group of verses, we see the gospel, though by God's design, there are also a foreshadow of historically very near impending events. A Babylonian invasion from the north of Judah in 605 BC. Why include the Sabbath? As a Christian, we realize that the Bible is rich, thick with meaning and symbols, unparalleled in design, in historical significance, even to the point that even names coming from events, when taken in order, prophesy an event 3,000 to 5,000 years in the future. That is the Bible. That's the magnificence of the design of the Bible. For sure. What the question is, why the Sabbath? Judgment, fire, and brimstone is not forthcoming because I did not take the day off. There has to be a deeper principle. Do you know the golden rule? The golden rule, according to Jafar in Aladdin. Can we see his picture, please? That's Jafar. And the golden rule is, I would like everybody to remember this. He who has the gold makes the rules. When I heard this dialogue from Jafar in the Disney movie Aladdin 2002, instead of me laughing, I got scared. Because in the real world, that's so true. He who has the gold makes the rules. But in our context, he who is God makes the rules. JJ spoke about Exodus, about the dimensions, about the precision that the temple has to be made. It's not according to our design or the Israelite design. No, that is God's design. Why? Because he is God. He who is God makes the rules. scary? You bet. When we really appreciate this, we will know the real meaning of fear. So who is God? Can we show the second chart? These are the attributes of God. If you would like a digital copy of this chart, please let me know so I can email it to you. These are attributes by which we should see every single verse of the Bible. We see that in his moral attributes, there is love. Every Pentecostal will tell you, God is love. I will tell you today, God is wrath. God is wrath. He is love and he is wrath. What are the practical? So he let's tone it down somewhat. He is both love and he is wrath. We cannot view God without the other. It's like a bird. If he flies, no bird flies with one wing. There's another side of the lift that's generated. So I cannot rightly see God and see just wrath. I need to see him as my God who has love as well. Sorry, this is drifting down. So he gave in Exodus 20. He gave the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments. Included in there was the fourth commandment. So he doesn't give us the commandments so that we just need to follow it. No, because he has, in his goodness and his love, he gives them so that we benefit from them. So what are the practical benefits of the first three commandments? What's the first commandment? I'm the Lord your God who took you out of Egypt. The introduction of the Creator, the ethical and loving God who delivers his people from slavery. In the case of Israel, freedom from slavery in Egypt. In our case, it would be freedom from the bondage of sin. The second is, I am the Lord your God, thou shalt not have no other gods before me. It also includes not making any graven images of anything that is on earth and in the heavens. The practical benefit of the second commandment is that there is only one moral standard. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Moral standards cannot be based on relative human opinion or from a polytheistic worldview having so many gods. It's just going to be, if Lisa said that this is right for me, it's going to be right for her. And all other opinions or moral sense would be just as correct. But having one moral standard would mean that everybody would be following the same rules. He who is God makes the rules. There's only one moral standard. Number three. The third commandment is, you shall not misuse the name of the Lord thy God, or do not take my name in vain. The reverence of God's name should assure us that whatever is done in his name will be trustworthy. That's the purpose of the third commandment. But we all take take the name of the Lord God in vain. Whether we people curse, people use it. God spoke to me, no. We should not misuse the name of God. And the fourth comes. Remember to keep holy the Sabbath day. Sorry, I did not include this. Of all verses, I forgot to include this in my list. I'm so sorry. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, nor you, nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. The practical benefits of the fourth commandment. It elevated the human being. Each with intrinsic and divine value. Not beasts of burden. Do you know that slaves did not have Sabbaths? The Sabbath was meant for man, as it was mentioned in Matthew 12, verses 1 to 8, Mark 2, verse 22 to 28, Luke 6, verse 1 to 5. It should remind people that we are meant to be free. Slaves did not have a Sabbath. The Mosaic, the covenant, the symbol of the covenant that God made with Moses. As the Israelites were taken out of Egypt by God. It also strengthens relationships. Having a free day will allow you to spend time with your family or with your friends. Slaves too, or employees, were given fundamental human rights and prevents the cruelty and or abuse of animals. That's practical, right? It is practical, the fourth commandment. This is what John MacArthur's will add to that. It reminds us that God created us, and of the work of creation. It reminds us of the rest that we will have also, the future rest that we will have also in Jesus. Verse 22, do not bring a load out of your houses or do any Sabbath. Or do any work on the Sabbath, but keep the Sabbath day holy as I commanded your ancestors. Yet they did not listen or pay attention. They were stiff-necked and would not listen or respond to discipline. After having revealed to the Israelites who God is, who he is, do you remember the Shekinah glory? Cloud by day, pillar of fire by night, the parting of the Red Sea, and then later the parting of the Jordan. Bread from heaven, and the procession of quails. I can't understand how the Israelites would forget who God is. Because of these wonders. Just imagine a whole sea opening up before you. And then the next 3 weeks, they need to be told who God is again. I guess God chose the Israelites for his purposes. After having revealed his power and how good he is, can we not see the element of faith and not so much about answering the need to understand the instruction following the remembering the Sabbath day? in human terms in these couple of verses. For time purposes, let's see some other quick examples. Mary, in the wedding at Cana, instructs the host to do as Jesus says. Mary instructed the servants to follow Jesus, not even making an effort to check what instructions Jesus will be making. She did not say, "Hey son, what are you going to tell the servants? Because I told them that they need to follow every word that you say." So she did not say that. So where's the nearest bottle shop? What, you're going to ask them to fill the containers with what? Water. She did not say that. Why? Because she knew that every word that will come from Jesus will have his authority and his power. Listen again to what she said. John 2, verse 5. His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." No questions asked. Do whatever he tells you. From Matthew, the second one, the second example. Matthew 14, verse 24 to 30. You love this one. "And the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves, because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. 'It's a ghost,' they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, 'Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid.'" Listen to what Peter said. "Jesus, if it is you, tell me to come to you on the water." And Jesus said, "Come." Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." You see the... Can I read to you another version? What if I said that? "But Jerry immediately said to them, 'Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid.' So Peter replied, 'Jerry, if it is you, tell me to come to you on the water.' And I said, 'Come.' So Peter got out of the boat, sank immediately, and drowned." Do you see the difference? It's the words, "Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." "Come" came from whom? Came from God, not Jerry. Not JJ, not Bill. No. It came from Jesus. And the qualifier of Peter was that he said, "Jesus, if it is you," there's so much value in the words that will be spoken by Jesus. Not the words "come," or not the words "remember to keep the holy Sabbath, the Sabbath holy." No, it's a speaker who was important. It wasn't the Sabbath. It was a speaker who was important. This, people have this debate on having whether we should still be following the Sabbath or not. We're going to answer that later on. But that's not the main part of the question. That's not the main question. The main question is, why is violating the fourth commandment justifiably punishable with the hellfire? Let's read. Allow me to repeat the question. Why is violating the fourth commandment justifiably punishable with hellfire? Ezekiel 20, verse 12. Right. I'll just read 12. Also, thank you, Bill. Also, I gave to them my Sabbaths as a sign between us. It's not the mosaic, the signature mosaic of the mosaic covenant. Also, I gave them my Sabbath as a sign between us, so they would know that I, the Lord, made them holy. It's not Moses who made them holy. It was God, the Lord, made them holy. Just like us, the Israelites missed the lesson when they did not see that the Sabbath was meant for their benefit, for each individual. The idea of rest and the requisite trust in God separated them in practice from their neighboring tribes. JJ said to me, well, I was sharing him the draft. He said, all the other tribes did not rest on the Sabbath. Not even their agricultural land was not rested. The concept of rest was peculiar to the people of Israel, and they prospered. That's how God separated them. To obey the Sabbath, we've read the Sabbath just a while ago. To obey the Sabbath indicated love of self. Your relatives, your neighbors, your strangers, even your pets and your beasts of burden. Remember the golden rule? He who has the gold makes the rules. In our case, he who is God makes the rules. Obedience indicated faith and recognition of the Almighty Being who gave the instructions. Not obeying the Sabbath indicated that the first to third commandments were optional. They were optional. If I do not obey the Sabbath, I will just see God as some other God. Do you see it? In principle, declaring God's power and authority may or may not exist. Just imagine if I told you that you shall hold Mondays holy, or for I made it holy to myself. All who don't follow, I will punish. What would happen if I told you that? That wouldn't be right. But that would go down differently if a person of great authority would say that. Let's say Skomo would say, shall hold the Monday holy. People would just, Skomo would say, we're going to have a 3-day week, a 4-day weekend. Skomo said that, yes. If I said that, what? No, Skomo said, Scott Morrison said, we'll have a 4-day weekend. Everybody say, yay. Not obeying the Sabbath indicated that the fourth was immaterial, irrelevant, and inconsequential if we disobeyed it. Remember who spoke it? The Lord. So this God calls this day holy? Yes. Our God, the omnipotent, omniscient, moral God, the loving God who is both love and wrath, our God who sent his Son to die for our sins, that God. If we if we dis- sorry, my voice is breaking. And if we disregarded the fourth, there's no God. I made him optional. I made the fourth commandment, even the speaking of the Sabbath, holy. I made it inconsequential. Will I still follow the fifth to tenth commandment? No. No. There is no longer basis for love. Because there's no basis for love your God with all your body, mind, and strength. As he said in Matthew 22, there is no more basis for the verse, love your neighbors as yourself. There's no more basis for that. Because there's no God. I've disregarded him. That's why the fourth commandment is so important. Because it marks a transition from me acknowledging who God is and that he told me to love myself and his instructions for me loving his creation. He calls it holy. Every single man here, every single child is holy to him. That's how important the fourth commandment is. Every commandment is important, but the fourth is just the pivot from looking to God. You said that, I'm going to follow it here. It's just a day, the Sabbath. Yeah. One that has been made holy by no less than God himself alone. God himself made it holy. The Israelites did not understand. It is not the day that was important, but God who made it important, that was important. They also missed the goodness in the reasoning behind making the Sabbath holy. The heroes described in Hebrews 11, made it believe not so much because the words and instructions from God made sense to their human understanding, but because it was God who spoke the instructions, and so their obedience was counted unto them righteousness. So what are the benefits of obedience? But if you are careful to obey me, declares the Lord, bring no load. In verse 26, all these leaders, all this commerce, all this business will come bringing thank offerings to the house of the Lord. Number one, the benefits of obedience. God will be glorified, not us. Not us. Bringing thanks offering to the house of the Lord. Being set apart following this commandment and the promised blessings will make it obvious how God has favored Israel and that he is good, just, and powerful. Remember, how does it apply to us? God will be glorified. That's the main point. Matthew 5, verse 16. In the same way, thank you, Bill. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise me? No. Will praise your heavenly Father. Isaiah 45, verse 22 to 23. Let all the world look to me for salvation. Look to God. For I am God. There is no other. I have sworn by my own name. By my own name. I have spoken the truth, and I will never go back on my word. Every single knee will bend to me, and every tongue will declare allegiance to me. That is my God. Amos 4, verse 12. Prepare to meet your God, O Israel. For behold, he who forms the mountains, he who creates the wind and reveals his thoughts to man, the one who turns the dawn to darkness and strides on the heights of the Lord, the God of hosts, is his name. The second benefit, God's provision follows. Matthew 6, verse 31 to 33. So don't worry about these things. Me take a rest on the Sabbath? What about my overtime? So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of whom? Unbelievers. But your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. Psalm 23, 5 to 6. Surely, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Number 3. Enter his rest and be reminded of our future Sabbath in Christ. Jesus will be our rest. What's the other side of the coin? The judgment on disobedience. But if you do not obey me to keep the Sabbath day holy by not carrying any load, I will kindle an unquenchable fire in the gates of Jerusalem that will consume her fortresses first. Let's ask, how does this apply to us believers? Should we, the church, still keep the Sabbath on Saturday? We have Christian nurse friends who pull duty during weekends. Do we have nurse friends who do duty on Saturday? I do. Would it be a dire violation of the Sabbath? Would they be sent to hell because they work on Saturday? No. Look at this. Jesus said, Jesus watched his apostles pick grain heads to eat on a Sabbath. Did he break the Sabbath? Jesus said in Matthew 12, verse 12, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. It is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. Who spoke that? Jesus, the Lord of the Sabbath, he made it. It is lawful to do good on Sabbath. The idea of a rest day is very healthy, and it breeds trust and a grateful heart towards God. This verse is not... Christ has rescued us from the curse pronounced by the law. The Sabbath, although we'll do well to take rest and sing on a day and remember the goodness of God, we have been rescued by Jesus on the cross because he paid the penalty of our disobedience to the Sabbath. Did you catch that? Christ has rescued us from the curse pronounced by the law. Do we have Galatians 3 verse 13? No. Can somebody read Galatians 3 verse 13? Does somebody have Galatians 3 verse 13? For Galatians says also that if anyone is under the law, the Ten Commandments, he's still under the curse. But my Christ has been crucified on the cross as a satisfaction of God's righteous requirement that I should follow. I could not. So Jesus was sent to pay for my sins. I am free from the law. I am free from the law. It is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. There were new Gentile believers in Paul's time who ate different things from the Jews and had different holidays. So how did they resolve that? Paul said in Colossians 2, verse 16 to 17, therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, whether new believers, Gentile believers who ate bugs or some crocodilian animal. Sorry? Pork. Shellfish, which were ceremonially unclean for the Jews. And they were being incorporated to the church. So they had this dilemma. Oh, what do we do with the Gentiles? These Gentiles ate bugs. So Paul said, therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink with regard to a religious festival, also holidays, new moon celebration, or a Sabbath. These are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found now in Christ. It's settled. It's done. What did Jesus say on the cross? It is finished. It is finished. What if Jerry said, it is finished? We're all done. Yeah, we're all done. How about the other side of the coin again? How about those who have not repented and trusted in Jesus for their salvation? Does the commandment apply? Yes. Yes? It applies presently to an unbeliever. For unbelievers are still under the curse of the law and not under grace. But Christ has rescued us from the curse. So, Matthew 12, verse 36. But I tell you that everyone will have to give account on the day of judgment for every empty word that they have spoken. If you truly appreciate the weight of the fourth commandment, you will realize that you will be judged by every word that God Himself has spoken. Let that sink in. Every word of God will be used to judge us. For every action, for every inaction, contrary to what God has rightly wanted, by those merits, by those standards, no one among us has the right to say we will be judged righteous on our own merit. In John 12, verse 48, there is a judge. There is a judge for the one who rejects me and does not accept my words. The very words I have spoken will condemn them at the last day. So we conclude with this. Hebrews 10, verse 31. It is a terrible thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Judgment is imminent. Can you keep it there, please, Bill? Judgment is imminent. It was for the people of Judah then. It was a matter of less than 2 decades from the time Jeremiah started this ministry in 626 BC. It is the same for us today. There is a righteous God, and you will be judged according to His standards. His standards, not ours. And the only way to escape this judgment is the person foreshadowed by God's rest on the very first day. It was Jesus who took the Father's punishment in our place. We are saved by believing Jesus died in our place and that He rose again. Contrary to the message of the judgment in the Bible, Dan Barker, an American evangelist turned atheist, just before he turned, admits his sermon slowly became, in his own words, his sermons became more and more about God's love and how to live our daily lives. But friends, we cannot speak of a return without speaking of an exile. We cannot speak of salvation without speaking of damnation. Think about it. If you look at the cross and do not see God's wrath on sin, we will not see the full extent of God's love. We don't need to borrow anybody's name to say that. The Spirit tells that to us, and we see our sin, and we appreciate Jesus' sacrifice. And so like that, the gospel message begins. God is holy. God is righteous. God is wrath. God is judgment. God is going to be judgment. Let's pray. Abba, we should all be the Jeremiahs of today. Forgive us, for we have seriously watered down your gospel until it became unrecognizable. Allow us to have the courage to speak first the terrifying truth, Lord, that you are holy and we are not, and that we have hope of salvation, not because of what we do or not do, but because of the sacrifice of our Lord and Savior Jesus. We were full of fear because of the law, but now we are filled with joy because of your grace and mercy. You told Jeremiah to say, "Hear the word of the Lord." We pray that we will be filled not only with your love and compassion, but also with an urgency to kindly spread your good news to those around us. Thank you for your kindness in giving us hope and the coming opportunities to make you known. Because we realize now that you made the Sabbath holy. It was also you who spoke the Great Commission. We proclaim your good news and repeat your call to repentance to all. All power, glory, and honor are yours forever. In Jesus' name, amen.